Tonight on the Goblin's Corner, being a better bastard.
By building better traps.
Indeed.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight, oh man, I can't wait. I have been waiting for this episode for months.
Well, that's because we finally get to tap into
our inner bastard.
The roots, the deeply seated rat fucks that we actually can be.
This whole episode is literally about making better, more deadly, and more irritating traps to piss off your characters. This is definitely a storyteller episode, but also a good player character episode to know what your GM has in store for you.
It's true.
And it's going to be great. I can't wait. Oh, I love this. I love everything about this episode. But before we get into all of the goodness that is being a bastard, what's going on this week?
Oh, man. I honestly have been putting some time into thinking about being a better bastard. I'm equally excited about this. I'm ready for it.
We've got a couple of trap builds, Matt and I both, and we'll have these up on the website for you guys to download and look at.
Yeah.
And so this week we have been brainstorming some awful, awful traps. Now, I will say this, we come up with a bunch of examples in this episode, but it doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg.
No, absolutely not. You have to understand that your brain works differently than my brain. And either of our brains work differently than the people who are listening to this brains. There's a bastard in all of them. I believe in them.
Oh, you will find how deep the rabbit hole goes in this episode, sir. All right, so before we get to being a bastard, building better traps, I believe you have a question of the week.
I do. This is going to be one of the probably rare times that the question of the week actually isn't attached to the theme of the week.
Okay.
What is something in a game that sets off a "this NPC is evil" alarm in your head?
When they seem too nice. I'm always leery of creatures that are too nice. That usually means they've got something in their closet that they've murdered.
Fair. I can see that.
I mean, aside from the overt things where they cackle madly and they've, you know, got horns or something crazy. But honestly, even that, I'm usually not worried about if they look weird.
Yeah. But
we befriend goblins more often than we befriend average people.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I would say creatures that go out of their way to be helpful.
Sure.
For no reason whatsoever.
For me, it is any deal that is too good.
Anything that's too good to be true often is.
Well, you're aware of my story about destroying an entire adventure because the deal was too good.
I think that was a great example of that. Did we talk about that in an episode?
We did, yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't trust a deal that's too good.
For those of you guys who don't remember that, I don't remember what episode it was in, but someone approached Matt's character about, was it ghosts in the building?
Yeah, there was a haunted house that they wanted us to clean out, our adventuring party. Now, we're in a mud hole town with one general store, no churches, no wizards, no nothing. It's a farming community, and they offered us 500 gold to clean out.
Oh, that's outrageous.
It was ludicrous. And my brain was just like, nope, he's evil. He's got to die. I don't trust him. So I cast detect alignment. He was in fact evil. And I told my party, I was just like, kill him.
And then you burned the entire house down.
Absolutely.
Which defeated the entire storyline that your GM put together.
Well, yeah, first of all, it was at a convention.
Fucking amateurs. That's what that is.
It was not an amateur. It was someone who famously is not an amateur.
obviously didn't meet you before.
But their name is on several of the books that are on your show.
Well.
But,
you know, still.
But regardless of that.
They're great at making games. Sometimes they're not great at running them. It's fine.
But yeah, the paranoia in my brain just spiked, and I was like, nope. We're not doing it. I don't believe it. And so we nailed all of the doors and windows shut. We nailed shields over the windows so nobody could come out of the windows, and then we burnt it to the ground.
Yeah, because the whole situation was a trap.
Yep.
And speaking about traps, let's talk about traps.
All right, let's do it. So, why even talk about traps?
That's a great question. I would say part of, especially from a Dungeons & Dragons perspective, but honestly from any game, traps are an important part of the game dynamic. First off, they're fun. Traps are fun. Your player characters may not think about it when they're getting hit by a trap, but there's nothing better than defeating some nasty ice in Shadowrun or going against some kind of arcane trap in World Darkness, or of course the traditional rogue trying to deactivate a trap in D&D. They're fun. They're something that they will talk about years after your game is done.
There's a reason why one of the most iconic scenes in Indiana Jones is the boulder trap.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
a reason for that.
Yeah, the boulder trap and him swapping out the idol with the bag of sand. Yeah, it's interesting. It brings that dynamic to the game. Nobody really talks about them much either, and that's something that we are definitely going to change.
Exactly. So the DMG has a set of traps of different CRs, and people tend to use those in places where they kind of make tactical sense, and that's where they tend to get left off.
Yeah, and most of them suck.
I won't say that they suck. It's that they're not interesting.
I think the problem is that they're very generic.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but they need a little oomph. They need some spice, some flavor to make an impact. And let's be perfectly honest. After a certain level, whatever game you're playing, whether it's by karma or experience or what have you levels, most people are like, traps, no big deal. I get hit with one and that's it. Well, then you're doing traps wrong. And we're going to teach you guys how to do traps right.
Or at least better.
Or at least better. Or at least bastardly, which is where we're coming to play with this. So let's first off set some ground rules about traps overall.
Yep. Traps are basically, for me, are basically a monster. Right? And because of that, every monster has things that they have their own logic.
Yeah. They're an encounter. There's some kind of rhyme and reason to a trap.
Right. There's a purpose for it being there. There's a way around the encounter, right? If it's a very, very dangerous trap, if it's a very, very dangerous monster, you should provide an out.
Yeah. So the ground rule being, you've got to have some way to deactivate the trap, to get around the trap. It should not be a stopgap in the game. Traps are to provide tension, dynamic tension or role-playing tension, or tension of getting...
threat.
Yeah. Threat tension, getting hit by a lightning bolt. But they should not stop the story.
Agreed.
There must be a clear way to deactivate them. Now, you might have to make them do a puzzle or they have to figure it out, but it should encourage group cooperation as well. That's the thing that often is missing in traps. It's usually relegated to the skill monkey in D&D, for example, or the decker in Shadowrun to figure out how to get past a specific trap. But good traps designed well play on all of the character's strengths. It may be that trap is broken and it just won't open, and it takes the barbarian to knock the damn door down instead.
That's funny. I was actually going with a different direction with it, which is the rogue stands out of the way, continuously sets off the trap, and the barbarian is just like, this buzzsaw is going to come out, and as soon as it does, I'm going to smash it, and then it will stop moving.
And then I'm going to take it and hit everybody else with a buzzsaw.
Right.
Sure. So there's got to be a clear way to deactivate them. Now, this could be a perception check, an alternate sound, smashing the fucking thing, whatever that happens to be. And keep in mind, magic as well. Magic can also defeat it if you're playing a game with magic or cybernetics, whatever, right?
Sure.
Assume, and this is a big one, assume the builders can deactivate the traps themselves.
Yeah.
Now, in a traditional dungeon setting, there should be, and we'll talk about at some point in the future, building dungeons specifically, but a dungeon should have a purpose. Was it to entomb some great evil? Was it because there is a secret society? Is it a multi-level dungeon where there's lots of different things going on different levels and it was built over the years? The traps should reflect the builders of the dungeon and their thought processes behind it. Now, I'll give you a perfect example because it's the one that we're playing.
Yeah.
There is, I've got pillar traps that my characters have run into, and they're these big, tall, 9-foot tall pillars in the middle of a room. And whenever they get close, these big blades just whip out and cut them in half. And at the top of these 9-foot tall pillars are tiny little braziers, which look like something you could burn incense in. Now, the rogue tried to disable it a couple of times, and he failed his check, and he got cut to ribbons a couple of times. And after much healing, they realized, after hours of messing around with the various traps in this dungeon, that these braziers were designed because this dungeon was made by a bunch of sorcerers. And all they did was they cast a flame bolt or produced flame into the brazier, and it deactivated the trap. And it provided light for the room.
Sure.
So it was a double purpose. All they had to do is take an arrow, light it, shoot it, and
problem solved.
Problem solved. All the traps are deactivated. So there's a good example of how the thought processes go in. And that's just one example. It could be anything or everything according to your whim.
And the other thing about that is the people who build the traps should determine the flavor of the traps as well.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're in the middle of a forest, then those traps are going to be flavored differently than if you're in dwarven ruins.
Yep. The Cult of the Dragon, you should expect magic traps, and you should expect it to have basically 5 damage types.
And if you're in a kobold tunnel, expect everything.
Yeah. All of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
Give your magic traps keys. In addition, then this could be one of the ways to deactivate it. Now, these keys could be, in terms of magic, it could be maybe a phrase, like a password.
Could be a physical object.
Physical like badges, object, yeah. In the case of portal keys, because some traps are portals, a portal key would definitely keep you from getting teleported to the abyss and actually teleported to the right location.
Right.
And more importantly, and this is, again, going into our dungeon episode later on, is have some kind of ecology with the dungeon monsters and the traps. Because if your monsters are thinking creatures and not just some shambling mounds rolling around or carrion crawlers,
right,
then they're going to be smart enough to know that there are traps in an area if they're living in this place day in, day out, which means maybe give them some keys tied to them.
Sure.
So that the traps don't affect them.
And occasionally, if you have a critter that you have decided has just kind of wandered into this, if it's a traditional cave style dungeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a rust monster has wandered in. Maybe some of these traps have already been eaten by it. But what that should clue you in on is that the traps are present.
Yes. Well, that's some foreshadowing that you can use for traps.
Exactly.
What are some other ground rules we got?
Well, let's see. We've got... this one's a big one for me. And I don't know that a lot of people will have thought of it or even agree with it, but if you're going to make a custom magical trap, then you need to be willing to give the players loot that explains that trap. It needs to be a custom spell,
mm-hmm,
or a custom glyph or something that the players can reproduce.
Yeah. If you're making a custom spell for this trap, it should be a custom spell that anybody can use. And I think that's a great loot thing. And I'm glad you brought up the magic, because another ground rule that we have is also traps don't always have to be mechanical.
True.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, I hit the rope gets cut, and then the ceiling collapses. It could be mechanical, of course. Could be magical. Yep. So you get a magical traps, which I love. Could be monsters as the trap.
Yeah.
It could be just straight up environmental damage or environmental situations. So a good example of that could be sand pits, lava, snow, any type of elemental damage.
A drowning room.
Drowning room. Yeah, those are great. Especially if they can't breathe underwater. Mental traps.
Oh, sure.
And again, I also put puzzles in mental traps, knowing my players, because there's nothing that frustrates them more than trying to figure out a mental puzzle, even a simple mental puzzle. You name it. So it doesn't always have to be one type of thing. Use reasoning with trap creation.
Yeah.
And finally, and this is the golden rule, the traps should provide thematics or tension in the game.
100%. I touched on it earlier. A archmage would have to most likely hire someone to install mechanical traps. But magical traps, he'd be able to make himself. If you're setting up a dungeon that you don't want people in, you're probably going to do as much of the work yourself as you can.
Sure.
So probably much higher in magical traps than mechanical traps, and vice versa.
Now, you could be a mage that summons artisans.
Sure. Just something to think about. Cult of the Dragon, you should have ice, fire, lightning, acid, poison traps.
And again, if you're going into a kobold's lair, expect everything.
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 But especially monster traps.
Monster traps. Oh, yes. All right. Let's talk a little bit about proper trap creation.
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to use your environment. If you have a dungeon that's set in a deep, dark jungle that is just an ancient jungle, they're probably going to be using jungle materials.
Use what materials are at hand.
Sure. If there's not a mountain anywhere nearby, probably not going to be made of solid stone the whole way through all the time.
So where are your players? Are they underground? Are they underwater? Are they in the woods, in a jungle? Are they in an elemental plane? Think of what kind of materials that you can use. Now, they don't always have to be that way. And actually, some of the best traps are the unexpected traps. But this is a great start to trap creation. How do, and I'm going to mention this a little bit, how do the traps fit into that dungeon ecology? So what do we mean by that, Matt?
Well, first off, who maintains these traps?
Yeah.
If it's not a higher level trap, right, then it doesn't auto-reset. Who does reset it? That's a great one. If it's a monster trap, who feeds it when there's not intruders?
Yeah, where does a monster get its usual nutrition from?
So things like that. There's an entire ecology, both like literal ecology when it comes to monster traps and the ecology of who's going back and doing all of this work. So where does this all come from?
One of the things I read about the Undermountain module, which I loved so much, is that Alistair's got that dungeon ecology through a series of portals. So like some levels in Undermountain, and this is, by the way, D&D Forgotten Realms stuff, if you guys don't know, there's a mountain where, the Mountain of the Mad Mage.
The
right?
Dungeon of the Mad Mage.
Yeah. Dungeon of the Mad Mage directly below Waterdeep. And some of the levels, well, first off, the levels are all over Faerun, if I recall, but some of the levels are portals to other realms, literally, where Alistair just gated in water to flush out some of the refuse.
Sure.
Gated in heat and gated in monsters, either for food or for entertainment value.
Well, in Oliver Faerun, there are one-way portals that lead into the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. So monsters of any type could literally accidentally trigger one of these portals.
And then he can
End up in the...
And then he has Hallister's Fetch as well, which he just...
Correct.
It's like the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave.
Right. I don't know if Hallister's Fetch exists in 5th edition.
It would in my game.
Well, yes. But once again, that's one of those things that I personally feel about. If it's a spell that you can use as a trap, then it needs to be available to players.
Sure. So how does it fit in the ecology? Who resets the traps? Is it magic that resets the traps? Do the monsters know about it? And build that out according to your dungeon specifics. Additionally, and this kind of fits with the environment, use terrain for your effects. And terrain is a great way to debuff your players, to provide tension to the game, to really just mess with them if you're just feeling froggy.
Sure, because if you've got a monster trap, but the entire floor is completely uneven, well, you're slowed by half.
Yep, and the monster is not slowed by the difficult terrain, and thus you might get caught up and get eaten.
Yep, difficult use the terrain, correct monster for the correct terrain.
Yeah, difficult terrain means the players can't escape whatever you've cooked up in terms of nasties. And this could either be the monsters, or we'll go back to Indiana Jones here. If you're running through sand, and then the top, maybe there's a ridge along the wall where the ball can roll.
Right. It's not moving through sand.
It's not moving through sand. It's going at full speed, and you're slogging through sand. Oh, God, I'm not going to make it.
You're right. Yeah. You're not.
So you may have to race to deactivate a trap as well. And yep. This is another good one is if you've got an environmental or terrain effect, press that tension button. Maybe deactivating it, you have to reach the other end of the room, and they have to somehow get to the other end of the room. Otherwise, unforeseen consequences can occur. Lots of fun stuff. By the way, it doesn't have to just be movement that's hampering them with terrain, does it?
No. Snow and ice, right? It's also, it does hamper movement, but it's also cold.
So you're going to get some kind of, you might get frostbite.
Right. Sand and snow specifically can both hide things in it.
So monsters.
Sure. It can also hide even more traps.
Yes.
Traps on traps on traps.
Yeah, you might be slogging through the snow, you fall down a pit, there's another trap right there for you, just from environmental hazards. Another rule that I love for traps is use placement of traps for fun and profit.
Sure.
What I mean by that is consider your 3D space. And this is something that Matt and I both feel very strongly about. The traditional dungeon trap generally has pressure plates on the floor. There's often a lock trap when you try to, pick the lock or open the door. Come on, guys. You can get a lot more creative than that. You can put traps on the ceiling. And I would, because let's be honest, if I'm a warlock with spider climb, I'm never going to walk on the floor.
Right.
Ever. If I'm a wizard with levitate, I'm just going to strap a string around the paladin and just float along. I'm not touching the floor.
Nope.
You got to be shitting me. Come on. Put traps on the ceiling, on the walls, a magic trap floating invisible in the middle of a hallway that they stumble upon.
Yeah.
Be creative with your 3D space. Traps are not always on the floor or the door.
Right. And if there's a trap on the ceiling, it doesn't just have to be a dead fall. It doesn't have to be a dead fall. There are plenty of options of things that you can put in or on a ceiling to drop on your player.
Yeah, I got deadfall love. There's nothing wrong with 1,000 tons of stone crashing down on a player, but...
There is not, but it is, generally speaking, the only roof trap that you ever see.
Yeah. Let's get creative here. Okay, come up with a couple. Let's see. We could have, obviously, spikes.
We could.
Poison.
I have a swarm, in mind.
Oh, are you thinking hellbees?
I was not.
Oh.
One is, instead of it being a deadfall, have a simple panel in the roof, and inside of that panel is a 5-foot by 5-foot cube that is filled with alchemist fire.
Mm.
And the bottles just rain on the players.
You want to know another one I was thinking of aside from the hellbees?
What's that?
Because I think an Infernal Hornets would be great, but it opens up the panel, and it's the refuse from the floor above.
I was thinking something very similar to that, except...
Now it becomes a water trap.
I was thinking and this is something we're going to talk about later, so maybe I'll just bring it up later.
Sure.
I have another option for that.
Another thing to consider is making these traps innocuous.
Yes, absolutely. Not everything has to deal damage for it to be an effective trap.
And it doesn't have to look like, quote unquote, a trap. So yeah. The trap could be on the bookshelf. It could be part of a treasure pile. Those are great traps, by the way, because everybody checks for traps outside the door, but when they see a pile of gold, they rush to stuff as much of it in their pockets.
Because if it's not in a chest, it's not a mimic.
Yeah.
So we're just going to grab it all.
Yeah. It could be that suit of armor. It could be a statue with a bow and arrow. And by the way, if it's a statue with a bow and arrow, that thing's going to attack you.
It's going to shoot you.
It's going to
shoot. Absolutely is.
Absolutely. Every time. It could be a rug. It could
of
be
smothering.
It could be mirrors and paintings. And I love, and I actually wrote yours down before we get to it, but there's a mirror trap that Matt's got that's awesome. It could be anything. Alternatively, the door is the trap. What I mean by that is the door isn't trapped. The door is the trap. Now, let's go a little bit into depth on what we're talking about.
I love this. I don't even feel bad for this one.
This is fucking genius. So obviously the comical part of my brain springs to mind is as soon as they trigger the door, it's a giant spring behind it, which crushes them into the wall.
Right.
Very cartoony.
Yes.
But obviously also a false door.
Sure.
And then one of my personal favorites.
The door is a mimic.
It's a mimic.
Yeah.
Bites off your hand. Another one, and I was just thinking about this, is it's a rotating door. Like it revolves down and it smacks you down and then it slides you underneath and traps you. So
sure.
Like kind of like a sideways oubliette.
Okay, right.
Or it could just be a straight-up oubliette.
Good. There's nothing wrong with an oubliette.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with an oubliette.
And how can you not like the word oubliette?
It's a good point. Now, what else do we got?
Make your traps unexpected.
Oh, they got to be unexpected. So what we mean by that is have them in unexpected locations. And this, is again, goes back to playing with your 3D environment a bit more. But have them separate maybe from
their triggers.
Their triggers.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that you don't see a lot of in mini games at all. In which case, you know, traditionally, you got your roll rolling up. They detect traps. This is definitely trapped. I deactivate the trap. Okay, it's deactivated right then and there. But maybe the trigger might be 50 paces in front of the trap. So when they roll up to deactivate the trap, they've already set the trap off. So you can play it with fun and profit.
Sure. I mean, you've got options there. Like, do you deactivate the trap or do you deactivate the trigger, right?
Right.
If you deactivate the trap, then the trigger's not going to do anything.
You might just get a click, and
right.
That's about it. One you mentioned when we built this episode was a door which triggered a lightning trap, not on the door, but in the hallway where everybody else was sitting back and waiting for the rogue to deactivate.
Okay, here's my theory on this, right?
Okay, I'm listening.
Anybody that can create a lightning trap that has enough power to magic a lightning trap probably has either been in a situation where they've seen a lightning trap go off.
Yep.
Or they have spoken to people who've been in a situation where a lightning trap has gone off. If I were to make a dungeon and there was going to be a lightning trap, I know that the adventuring party is standing 30 foot away.
Because that's what they do. Or they wait at the edge of the door in the next room.
Yeah, they let the corpse handle it. Okay, so the lightning trap on this door sets the lightning off down the hallway where I'm expecting everyone to be waiting. Now, it's a 50-50 shot if there's two hallways, right? But still, even if I miss everybody, the sudden tension that just got ratcheted up in all of the players for setting off traps in locations that they can't predict is worth the miss.
Oh, it's great. It's absolutely great. Here's another example. Rube Goldberg it. And if you guys know what a Rube Goldberg machine, think of the Goonies when they set the trap off and it sets something else off, and then the ball bearings roll around and all of a sudden the skull jumps and then they're all dead, right?
Sure.
Drop something open.
Yeah.
Having a trap which activates another trap.
Yep.
or interacts with some kind of secondary object or secondary trap. So I'll give you a good example with that. You have a trap which maybe sets a ball rolling, and it could be anything from a small ball or, in my case, a boulder. So the boulder comes rolling along and they escape from the boulder. No big deal. But at the end of the hallway, because they cut around the corner, at the end of the hallway, there's a giant gong. And when the trap rolls through, when the ball does, it hits the gong. Now I've alerted the rest of the dungeon that
the trap has been set off. Yep.
You could even go even further with that. Maybe there's a hole that opens up when the trap is activated. So now this giant stone ball rolls past them. They narrowly avoid it. It goes down a side corridor, shoot, maybe loops around, and comes back at him someplace else.
Or the trap you set off today is the trap you arm for the next level down.
Yep. So that trap arms another trap because you've set that off. And that's the best one. And we'll get to playing with their heads later. But you set off a trap. It goes click. And then everyone's like, well, what happened?
You don't know.
And it just armed the trap a few floors down. And now they're like, oh, man. Now they're paranoid for the next four levels because they don't know what to do. But what they really did was they activated a trap further on, which makes their progress harder.
I also, what I consider that is, and this is great for the Rube Goldberg concept, right? Let's say you've got a five-level dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom level is a trap that is currently unarmed. There are 15 charges for that trap in the levels above and leading to this trap. Every one of them you successfully avoid or disarm doesn't put a charge in the trap.
So if they accidentally set it off 15 times, that's 15 charges that they get blasted with.
Yes.
I love that. Oh, that's nasty. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more dastardliness. This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right, so we were talking about traps which activate other traps, if I recall. I want to add a little bit to that. Smart dungeon builders pile traps on top of each other. Right. Now, this instance actually came to me from Monty Cook when we saw him at Dragon Con several years ago.
Right.
And one of the traps he mentioned was a pit trap, which had a little bit of gold at the bottom.
Sure.
And it was a pit trap, right? So if they avoided the pit part, they see the gold at the bottom. And so they get their wizard to go climb down there, fly down there, or maybe they get their thief to drop down there, and there's a gelatinous cube, which is cleverly hidden in the spikes at the bottom. So if the person falls, they take spike damage, and then the gelatinous cube slowly devours them. If they don't take the falling damage, they climb down there because they're greedy bastards, and then the gelatinous cube eats them
right.
And pulls them into the spikes.
Sure.
So you can pile your traps one on top of the other for fun and profit.
So this leads us back really quick to the trap that I was going to mention earlier of things that ought to fall out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
So imagine one floor under this gelatinous cube trap is a floor or is a tripping mechanism that opens the panel that is holding this gelatinous cube up, and you drop the gelatinous cube on the person below it.
Ooh, that's nice. So just literally pile traps one on top of the other. So they get hit with one trap, they go down to the next level, then that trap drops on their head.
Yes.
That's definitely workable. Speaking of like traps and stuff like that, make your traps able to be reactivated.
Yes.
This is something, and I'm going to tell you, that one of my player characters, it hit them. There was a trap that when they hit the pressure plate, Blade comes out, cuts him up.
Right.
There's a trap on the door that all it did was reactivate the pressure plate trap. So the rogue comes in, deactivates the trap, tries the door. Now, granted, talk about the rogue. Maybe he shouldn't have just tried the door before he tried to see if there was a trap on the door, but that's neither here nor there. He tried the door, reactivated the pressure plate. He got hit again. So then he deactivates the trap. He goes back to the door. He checks for the trap. He tries to deactivate it, fails it by 10, reactivates the pressure plate trap, which means he gets cut to pieces again. Took him 3 or 4 times, if I recall, because, and you were in this game, Matt.
I was.
Holding your face the whole time. And what did you say?
I summoned a monster to kick down the door.
Yes.
Because
otherwise,
ran out of patience.
Yeah, because otherwise he was going to have to just deactivate the trap, deactivate the door, unlock the door, then open it.
Yes.
So you can definitely use this, and I was cackling the whole time this was going on.
Yep.
Was it mean? Absolutely. Was it fun? Absolutely.
Yep.
You should do this? Absolutely. Make your traps reactivatable. Bonus points if they're already deactivated and the party messes with them to reactivate them. Going to another trap that I've built. This is one, again, the braziers with the big pillars. Now, this time they were arranged in what appeared to be a summoning circle motif, right? There's
right.
5 of them, 5 points, and in the center was a bloody summoning circle. And one of the trap, or one of the pillars, appeared to be moved. Like there was clearly, with the search check, they could see that it had been drug out of place. My dumb players decided, well, we'll just move it back to the right place. Well, it summoned a monster, summoned a Barkheist. They had to fight. And then the Barkheist was defeated after it was summoned. And then they look up and they go, maybe we should light the braziers to deactivate the traps because we should have done that in the previous room. So they light all the braziers in the summoning circle on all the pillars, and it summoned a greater Barkheist, which they had to defeat, and they narrowly avoided dying.
Right.
So you can definitely reactivate traps or make them layered, and it's awesome.
100%. I feel like layering monster traps with other traps, for me, tends to be the easiest.
Sure.
But I also believe in using monsters for all sorts of dungeon ecology, so.
Oh, well, you should, yeah, let's talk about monsters then.
You can have a brown mold against one side of a room, and a fire trap on the other side of the room. The second the fire trap goes off, the brown mold, which eats heat, expands out to then attack the players who have body heat naturally. So fire trap wakes up brown mold attacks players.
Stone gate, which opens up, which a whole bunch of rust monsters are hiding under.
Sure.
You can have oozes and pits, which is always fun. Gelatinous oozes for fun and profit because they're clear. But some brackish water is another great environmental trap, which might have a, like a black ooze in it?
Yeah.
You could have elementals in the lava trap.
Yeah.
Just chilling.
You can have
fun with mephits,
my friend.
That's
what I was just about to say. You can have mephits in literally any environment.
Oh, I got some mephit love, man. You can throw some mephits in anything, and that would be great. Have a sand pit with a bunch of sand mephits.
Yeah.
Just all up in your business. Just blowing sand in your grill.
A smoke trap filled with smoke mephit?
Sure.
Because rude.
You want to upgrade the ceiling collapsing trap? No problem. Throw some spiders in it.
Sure.
Monster spiders. And all of a sudden, now you've got this boulder which is moving back and forth and just bouncing up and down, slugging you in the face while the monster spiders crawl out from the hole and start webbing you up. And then they pull the boulder back up and reset the trap.
Then, as you mentioned before, you summoning traps.
Oh, yeah. Pour it in the big bat.
Yep.
One thing you can do if you're not down for just damage and you want to go and build a better trap is to add a trap which doesn't kill but deters the player characters. And this is actually a great way to, if you're really feeling bad for your player characters and you don't want to TPK them, you can throw this in. And honestly, some of these are really fun too. So debuff traps are great.
This one could go either way for me. Because here's the thing, right? If I hit you and your party with a Bane trap, you get minus 1d4 on your saving throws.
Yes.
The odds that you save are now significantly worse than they were a moment ago.
So a Bane trap against fire damage or polymorph means you either burnt or a statue.
No. Bane is against, for D&D at least, is against all of your saves. It's negative 1d4 against all.
Oh, that's even more. That's even worse.
Yeah, it's awful. A curse trap. So, yeah, there's
a geese trap.
Yes.
Just throw a geese on them. The geese is leave this dungeon.
Or what if the geese is
kill your players?
Protect this dungeon.
Yep.
Now your players are part of the problem.
Lots of different ways you can mess with people that to deter them. One of the best one is that I've found is traps, and this is again deterring them, which don't damage, but they sometimes damage, but they can also mislead the characters. Now, there's lots of ways you can mislead them, but illusions are great, and enchantments, of course, also being great. So we already mentioned the geese or suggestion trap, exit the dungeon. How would I do the suggestion? That's easy. On every couple of levels, you tell them to just walk up a couple extra levels.
Right.
So eventually, next thing they know, they're back at the base of the dungeon, and they try to get back down, and then they just keep going back up every so often. Illusions are great because it could be one that hides an obvious exit.
Yeah.
And maybe the monsters know about that, so they already see through the illusion. It could be one that obscures a trap, maybe messes with their heads, thinking friends or foes, or thinking that there's monsters that don't exist and having them run down and hurt themselves.
Or if you're a terrible person like me, you set that same trap around the corner like it was before, only this time it's a fear trap. And have them now charge down the hallway without the assistance of their rogue attempting to disarm any traps further down.
Another fun with illusions you can do is to make an illusion of an actual trap that's either deactivated or is easily found. Now they see that trap. Oh, they try to deactivate it. Maybe it doesn't work. Oh, that's just an illusion. They encounter the next one. It's actually a real trap.
Sure. And if you do the same illusion trap several times in a row, even if they keep checking the first couple, by about the fifth or sixth one, they're going to start getting slack.
Yep. Having traps which block access if you activate them. This is a great one because nothing scares player characters than being split up.
Sure.
And this is a tried and true trope of horror movies.
Yep.
Whether it's Saw or Indiana Jones, and the Temple of Doom had it when the stone walls came down.
Yeah.
And then the walls began, and then the actual ceiling started to crush them. So you could have moving walls.
Yep.
You can have one-way doors or one-way teleports. And of course, any type of teleportation effect. Some of my favorites are walls that actually shift or rearrange the dungeon so that certain exits no longer are exits and they have to figure either another way down, or they have to reset the trap or deactivate it to get to the next step.
A slide trap that slides down to the next level, but it doesn't stay open. It closes behind itself. So whoever was on the trap gets to go for a ride, but everybody else is still upstairs.
It's not a time mechanism.
Well, either a time mechanism or something, you know, it could literally just be that it slides open and slides closed, and then they're either going to have to break open the floor to get through to their friend.
Yep.
Which is going to make a lot of noise, so much noise. Or
noise traps are my favorite as well.
I'm for it. Anything that alerts the entire dungeon.
Let's talk about traps which play on the player's paranoia. These are great. Here's the best one. And we talked about this the other day. Healing traps.
Yep.
Why have a healing trap? Because the wizard that's building this dungeon needs one.
Sure.
Maybe they expected to get into some kind of confrontation with the PCs at some point. If you're building a dungeon, you want a way out. Maybe some of these traps are not actually traps, but they're hidden.
Exits.
Yeah, exit strategies, right? So here's a good example. You have a teleportation trap, which teleports you to the room above. Now, in that room, there might be a trap that, if you have it keyed specifically, doesn't hurt you. It actually heals you. But if you don't have the magic object, the secret word, you drink the juice, whatever that happens to be, then you get damaged.
Sure.
Or there are certain areas in a dungeon which can pop you around the dungeon for easy access. So maybe you're maintaining the dungeon and
sure.
you step over here. So you don't have to walk through all the monsters and deactivate all the traps.
Well, the other benefit of a healing trap is if you've got intelligent monsters in it, they can use it.
Yep. That's another example of that. Maybe they walk over, get healed, go back into the fight. So this also can set up encounters against some kind of big bad or help the players at some point if they figure out that these are traps which are beneficial, whether through teleportation, move them around in the dungeon, or to physically heal them.
Yeah.
And I believe you referred to the stupid magic healing fountain.
Where's it come from? I don't believe in the magic stupid healing fountain, right? If there is not a logical reason for the magic stupid healing fountain to be there, then the magic stupid healing fountain should be a trap.
Sure.
100%, it should be a trap. If I'm in a dungeon and there's a beautiful marble statue of this gorgeous woman with a pitcher of crystal clear water pouring out of it, it's a trap. It's going to be filled with acid. It's going to be something that does something terrible. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it.
It's not going to heal you.
Absolutely not, nor should it.
I agree with that.
Unless, once again, you're aiming for that paranoia factor, in which case, maybe the first one heals you.
Maybe the other ones don't.
But maybe every charge after that is acid, harm, you know.
Or maybe they heal you, but they make you susceptible to something else.
Absolutely.
Which is also great. What are some other ways we can mess with people's paranoia? Have some of the traps deactivated.
Sure.
That's a fine way to do it. Just show some deactivated traps. Or show some traps which are deactivated and maybe they don't realize that they're deactivated. And so they go through the trouble to try to deactivate them, which either rearms the traps or...
Or they never succeed at deactivating it, in quotation marks, because it's already deactivated.
Now, one of my favorite traps is a combo teleportation murder trap. And how it works is this. It doesn't matter what kind of trap that murders them it is. It could be spike trap, could be something coming down from the ceiling, but it should reset, right? Some kind of bladed trap. And what it does is after it kills them, then the second part of the trap kicks in and it teleports the body someplace else in the dungeon, preferably before the trap, so that the player characters, all they see is a dismembered corpse. And they think that the trap is there.
Right.
But the trap is not there. The trap is further down the hall.
Sure.
So they're searching everything going, oh man, where's the trap? They can't find it.
You know what would be great for that? A catapult trap at the end of a hall.
Absolutely.
That just literally catapults the person all the way back down the hall, smashes them against the far wall. And so when you see them, it's just a broken corpse against the wall.
And so you think it's maybe like something popping out of the wall. Nope,
sure.
It's a catapult at the bottom of the hallway. Sure, that's awesome.
I'm for it.
There's lots of ways you can do this. Now, finally, and this is one that I find even better, if you really want to mess with their heads, make a trap that you have to set off to proceed into the dungeon. The trap is not the trap. The trap is not setting the trap off.
Right. Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, right? The slide trap. Except in this case, rather than it being an actual trap, it is the stairwell to the next room.
It's the way to proceed to the next room. So a good example of that, let's just go back to the classic pit trap. The pit trap drops, maybe it drops you 50, 60 feet down to the floor below. Well, if you get hit by the pit trap, you fall, you're going to take damage, unless you avoid it. And if you're not savvy about it, maybe you just bypass it. But if you look and take the time, you could have just climbed down and bypassed an entire dungeon level to get to what you needed to do.
Sure.
Instead, you've got to fight a big bad, you've got to defeat a whole bunch of doors, maybe a bunch of other murder traps, some arrow traps, some poison, whatever that happens to be.
Yeah, you could have skipped a level, but now there's a mini boss.
Now there's a mini boss. Got to fight that mini boss. You could have just, you know, done a warp trap. So these are all really good examples, I think, of ways that you can add traps in for fun, for obviously lethality, but also to mess with your players.
Absolutely.
Now, as promised, we're going to provide a couple of examples of traps that we like. And this is, again, by no means the exhaustive list. This is just a couple. We'll probably, I mean, we could easily do a trap a week or 10, 15 traps a week because we love traps. And these are some that I find really amusing. So let's talk first off. I got a couple examples of mechanical traps. You want to jump into that?
Absolutely. I was just scrolling down to see if one of my terrible plans was in here. I'll have to remember it. Mechanical traps. So got a trap door, which sets off damage in the hallway, but not near the door.
Which we mentioned with the lightning trap.
Right. You mentioned one of your favorites.
Pit traps of any type, which can contain monsters. I love that. Here's a good one. A pit trap which contains a rust monster.
Sure.
Now all of your tools for climbing are gone.
So this one, the next one we have, is awful. It is wonderful and terrible. An easy trap that contains gold in it, which has been poisoned.
Yes.
The actual gold itself is
again,
poisoned.
Again, the player characters never suspect the actual loot.
Right.
Poison the loot. Put a trap in the loot or make the loot a mimic.
Right.
The old standby, split the party up with dropping metal walls. That's one of my favorite ones. You get a freaking iron wall that drops right in the center of them, and that's when the shadows come out of the walls and start attacking everybody because they can move through that.
Sure.
I have some combo traps as well that I've come up with. This is your trap. I want you to describe this. This is fucking brilliant.
Okay. So what you do is you've got this mirror, right? And it's a magic mirror. The minor magic on the mirror is that it mends itself.
So if the mirror is broken, it just remends.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
It's the luckiest mirror.
Yeah.
But behind the trap.
Behind the mirror.
I mean, behind the mirror is a spear trap or crossbow trap, whatever. So anytime someone sets off the trap, it chucks a spear, shoots a crossbow, whatever.
Goes right through the mirror.
Goes
kills
right
them.
Through the mirror. And then the mirror repairs itself.
So all people see is a bunch of dead bodies and spears, and they're looking around, where's the spear?
Well, the mirror is magical, but it surely didn't summon this big-ass spear because it's really minor magic because it's just a cantrip.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that would be fun.
Another gold trap here. It's a pit trap with gold coins at the bottom of it, and there's no clear way to scale down the pit.
Right.
So the walls are slick, so the rogue can't climb it. There's no ladder, so nobody can just muscle their way down. So you get the wizard to fly down there to retrieve the loot, whatever the hub and the gold coins happen to be. And then halfway down is anti-magic.
Yep.
So he falls to his death into the spikes or into whatever monster you happen to place at the bottom with the gold coins.
Yep.
Or maybe the gold coins, again, are a mimic.
Or maybe the gold coins are actually gold coins.
Sure, why not?
Congratulations, you have fallen very far into a pile of some gold coins, but you still have to be able to get out.
Yep. And I mentioned the brazier traps as well.
Sure.
So I'm going to mention one that I love more than anything else, which is making the traps chase the player characters. You want to put some dramatic tension into messing with some players. And yeah, we'll go back to the big rolling ball from Indiana Jones, but it could be anything. It could be an exploding trap.
It could.
Which happens to be carried by a construct. Basically, I don't know, a shelf with legs that's running after him. Dant, 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 dant. And there's like a lit fuse at the end. Was it a bomb from Super Mario Brothers running after him? It could be.
I told you what I would make mine. A giant set of clattering teeth.
Yes, that just chews them up along the way.
Yep.
You could even have rails which run along a hallway, so you could have a giant fan blade that just goes after them.
Yeah.
Anything like that is fun. Of course, the best one which follows them along is if it's sloped and they're heading down, water traps.
Yeah.
Now the terrain is slick, so they could be falling and sliding into blades or whatever, or they could be drowning.
Right.
And then the poisonous fish come out.
Or they could just be swept down a stone staircase by fast-moving water.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you have fallen on a stone staircase before, but that is awful.
A little bit of bludgeoning damage there.
Yes.
A couple minor head wounds.
Yep.
And that's when the undead attack.
Sure.
All right, let's talk
or
about
the piranhas.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some fun with magic. Some magic traps we got.
All right. Summoning traps. I mean, clearly.
They're awesome.
Obviously. They're great.
I love summoning traps.
Now, I mentioned to someone the other day, sometimes summoning traps can just be creepy on purpose, going back to the paranoia thing. So what would you do, right? You're entering this room. You set off a summoning trap. This albino raccoon with golden eyes looks you dead in your eye, turns around, and just walks through the wall. That's the entire encounter.
I love that. I was thinking of a mephit that gets summoned, and his whole job is to just basically mess with you all the way down the hall. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Or maybe sings really loudly.
Yep.
In fact, that's one of my fun monster traps. I'm skipping down the list there. It's a mephit that just sings at the top of his lungs, or an imp that sings at the top of its lungs and alerts the entire dungeon that the player characters are there.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. I stabbeth thee. Traps which teleport you out of the dungeon or someplace else.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where, right? Inside a wall to the...
Bye, Felicia.
To the five planes, up back to the entrance. Bounces you around. Bonus points if it teleports you in midair, cuts you in half, and then teleports to two pieces someplace. That makes resurrection really hard. Unseen. This is brilliant, by the way. That's why I love you, sir. A trap which summons unseen servants to rearm all of the traps in the dungeon and mend them if they were broken.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate trap. And I have to say, a fine example of being a bastard.
Thank you. The other portion of that trap, which we forgot to write down, is I know an awful lot of people, an awful lot of players, including myself, keep chalk on them to be able to give directions.
To wipe off the chalk.
The other thing the unseen servants do is clean up.
Yep. Wipe all the chalk marks that you've made so you are now completely 100% lost because you made chalk marks and now they're gone. Dispel magic traps. Oh, what can you do with that? Well, let's just say you're walking over a pit of lava and what appears to be a stone bridge is actually a bridge, which is a wall of force.
Sure.
Which is illusion to look like a stone bridge.
Right.
And when you set the trap off, it dispels it. And now you fall into the lava. Bye-bye.
Pain. Yeah. Suffering. Agony, but not for very long.
It's true.
Here's what you do. You have this illusion, and the illusion is of a treasure room, which has the illusion of a monster. The coins in the room are all made of lead, but the illusion makes them look like gold.
All right, so you've got an illusionary treasure room, an illusionary monster to defeat.
Right.
And then illusionary coins. The coins are real. They're lead coins, but they're illusion to look like gold.
Right.
So you've got three illusions to basically bypass.
Correct. And if you succeed, what you get is lead.
I like that. Throw in some actual traps or actual monsters for even more fun.
You could, but for this one, this is just force them to question whether or not this is worth their time. Like, are you serious with me? Right? Like, how much angst would there be for successfully getting through the manticore, right?
Sure.
Or what have you, to only get to the end of this room so that you can pick up all your treasure. If you fall for it, then you put it in, you put all of this gold in your bags, which
sloth it all the way up.
Yep.
And now you
get back to town
and it's nothing but a pile of lead.
It's nothing but a pile of lead, but it's also mixed in with the rest of your treasure. Now you have to sort all your shit.
Oh, that's just mean.
Yes,
speaking
sir.
Of mean, polymorph traps are great.
Yeah.
You're a frog, or more importantly, you're an insect and there's a room full of frogs.
Yeah.
That's just terrible. What's even better is they change you into the same animal there's a room full of. Because remember,
yeah,
especially in 5th edition, mental traits
don't stay.
Yeah. I'm now turned into a rat and there's a room full of rats and I look like every other white rat that's been thrown into this room. How are my player characters going to find me before it's permanent? Additionally, you could change their character's race.
Sure.
Which is always a terrible thing if I'm a wizard and I set off a trap and now I'm an orc.
Yeah.
Although I think they don't have minuses anymore to their intelligence, so it's not as bad as it used to be.
Right.
But it could be problematic if
removing
you're,
a plus is the same thing as adding a minus.
That's a good point, yes. Or just changing their clothing, doing something personal to really piss them off. Prestidigitation.
Yeah.
Color.
Absolutely.
Now they're all bright fuchsia. They glow in the dark. Fairy fire is another good example of that too. While it's not polymorph.
Yep.
Just lining them. Now the rogue can't hide.
Sure.
That's a terrible trap. That is an awful, awful trap because now he can't get advantage on anything. Let's talk about some fun monster traps.
All right. I mean, the mimic, right?
The humble, humble mimic.
So here's where so many people do not give the mimic its due. The mimic is not automatically shaped like a treasure chest.
Mimic can be anything.
Yes. And because of that, there's some terrible things that you can do with a little imagination.
Oh, I've done terrible things with the mimic. I did that to the game you were playing now.
Yes.
They rolled up in a room. It was locked, and it appeared to have been a room that people would just kind of camp out in. In fact, there were some used bedrolls that were in the room in addition to a candle that had been burned all the way down and some other implements. And so one of the characters decided to just kind of curl up on one of the bedrolls, and it was a mimic.
Yep. Go ahead and climb right into its mouth. You might as well. It'll be great. You mentioned this one.
Which one?
The trap which opens up to a rust monster.
Oh, yeah. Rust monsters are always lots of fun to play with, but you could also do stuff like a trap which opens up a grate and the Odiug comes out of, or the tentacles of the Odiug comes out. Now you're dealing with sewage and an Odiug.
Sure.
Anything with oozes, slimes, and jellies.
That's true. What happens, theoretically, if you were to put an ooze in a pressurized container and turn it into an ooze water gun? Can you give the ooze a charge attack on its first round? Like, somebody sets off the trap, right? The little nozzle opens up and the ooze gets launched out.
That's very interesting. I don't know.
I think I'm going to give him like a 90-foot charge attack.
Sure.
That's my plan for
you
that.
You should. That's just ridiculous.
Thank you.
You could stack monsters on top of monsters for traps as well.
Yeah. Anything that is acid resistant, stuck, acid immune, stuck in a gelatinous cube.
Yes. Or a gelatinous cube stuck in, say, a construct.
Yeah.
So after they've defeated the construct, now it frees the gelatinous cube, which then eats them.
Sure, because the gelatinous cube just eats anything the construct destroys anyway.
So I'm thinking a gargantuan or huge-sized iron golem, for example.
Okay.
And tucked inside his belly is a gelatinous cube. Insert your monster of the week. It doesn't have to be a gelatinous cube, but some kind of other monster, which is trapped inside.
Right.
And once they do enough damage, now the monster gets out.
I can see that.
And so now you're dealing with two monsters instead of one.
In fact, if you wanted to be really creepy, let's say you actually see this construct smash a rat and eat it.
Okay.
It's part of its programming because he's feeding.
Oh, the gelatinous
cube. The gelatinous cube,
yeah,
to keep it alive.
These are awesome. Again, we could go for days on just traps that we've built and, of course, obviously stupid monsters that we've come up with, but...
I do have one more I want to throw in real quick.
Okay, I'm ready.
And that is, we mentioned earlier that you should give, that all traps should have some kind of key, what have you.
Oh, yes.
Monsters should occasionally have red herring keys, fake treasure maps, all sorts of things, and or even real treasure maps. It's just not to hear.
Stuff that throws the player characters off. Because what would be better if you kill that orc and you're like, oh man, I got a key to this trap or to this door. And it just happens to be that that orc collects keys.
Yeah.
Likes keys.
Yep.
Key is pretty. I'm going
to take
it. I brought
this up to you the other day. You know, how many keys, you've moved as many times as me. How many spare keys do you have that you don't even remember where they go and you haven't taken the time to try and find out yet?
I could probably plate a wall with all the keys that I have that are spares.
Exactly.
Just rando doors.
Just something I thought I'd throw in there. I like red herrings. That's another paranoia thing that's good for them.
I like the maps, too, because that'll drive some of our completionist players batty, because they're just, where's this map go to? And they just tearing through the entire dungeon, and it doesn't have anything to do with that dungeon.
It was the last dungeon the orc worked at.
Yeah. He's a mercenary, man. He has two jobs. He works at this dungeon, and he works at the dungeon down the hall.
Yep.
So all of these are good examples, and again, we could go
on
and on for days. But hopefully this has provided some inspiration for you to go out, make your own traps, have some fun with it. And remember, it's not necessarily to kill your players, but it is to add tension, to have fun, and give them something to remember the dungeon by.
Absolutely.
Don't make it just any old dungeon. They go down, they defeat the big bad. You spend too much time making that big bad. You've done a great job making the monsters in the dungeon. Now let's talk about make those traps worthwhile. Make it something they talk about later, either fondly or in absolute hate of you as a DM. And that's fine too.
I will say this. If you don't feel like this has given you enough ideas, see if you can get your hands on an old copy of Grimtooth's Dungeons.
Yes.
That person had a mind for devious tomfoolery that was amazing.
Are there any traps that we missed or anything that we didn't cover in our bastardliness? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach us, Eric@goblinscorner.com and
Matt@goblinscorner.com. You can also tweet at us @goblinscorner.
That's true. You can tweet at us if you wish. That's all the time we got for today. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
D20 did our music.
And this has been a Subterranean production.
Later.